Sustanex survives better than other probiotics to deliver good bacteria where you need it for a healthy digestion so you can get back to feeling like yourself. Shift Sustanex Advanced Probiotic. Feel good inside and out.
Bob Gordley here. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next time.
Our web homepage is issuestodayradio.com.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. The family of two missing Americans say they haven't heard if their loved ones are among the bodies pulled from the wreckage of that grounded Italian cruise ship today. The captain of that ship has been placed under house arrest, and NBC's Michelle Kaczynski says taped of conversations between the Italian Coast Guard and the captain do not paint a flattering picture.
Some of the exchanges that are so angry, with repeatedly the Port Authority is saying to him, get on that ship. No, get back on that ship.
Citizens groups in Wisconsin say they have turned in twice the number of signatures required to force a recall election for Governor Scott Walker. Walker angered many people by pushing to strip public unions of many bargaining rights. New Jersey is ready for sports betting if the government will ever allow it. Governor Chris Christie has signed a bill legalizing such betting in New Jersey if it is ever allowed beyond the four states where it is currently legal. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
It's the first day of my new job, and the last thing I want is to show up late. Fortunately, my GPS gets me right where I need to be without any delays along the way.
Destination ahead.
I want the same thing when I do my taxes. TurboTax has a unique GPS feature that guides me step by step, and calculations are guaranteed 100% accurate, so I know it's done right, which helps me reach my maximum refund guaranteed.
Go to TurboTax.com today. Accurate calculations and maximum refund money-back guarantee details at TurboTax.com.
Make sure your omega-3 is fat-soluble.
Omega-3s are all about DHA.
EPAs are an omega-3's best friend.
Confused by what to look for in an omega? Then try new ProNutrients Omega-3 from the makers of Centrum. Its triple-action mini-gel goes beyond heart health to also support your brain and eyes. ProNutrients Omega-3, one of a new line of supplements that works with your multivitamin. New ProNutrients from Centrum helps make nutrition possible.
The staff at Torres Martinez Tribal TAMP says many traffic fatalities are caused by a legally intoxicated driver. Please do yourself and your community a favor and remember the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and above all, common sense. Safe and sober driving is everyone's responsibility. That's from Torres Martinez Tribal TAMP, playing a vital and integral role in our community's growth and development. TMTT is staying active in our children's overall health, safety, and well-being. For information on programs or services, call toll-free 888-787-TAMP. That's 888-787-8263.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Rod Tanner. For tonight, we'll have clear skies. Expect an overnight low of 41. Wednesday should be sunny with a high of 66. It'll be clear again on Wednesday night, a low of 44. Thursday, we'll have another mostly sunny day with a high of 68. Look for partly cloudy conditions. Thursday night, a low of 46. Friday, we'll wrap up the week with a partly sunny day or high 65. For the weekend, there's a chance of rain on Saturday. It'll be mostly cloudy with a high of 69. The chance of rain continues Sunday. We'll have a cloudy day with a high of 63. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
At 4:03, I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. You need that extra value from your vehicle, and Firestone Complete Auto Care can help. From oil changes to brake repairs to new tires, together, they'll keep your car running newer, longer. Call 1-800-LOCATE-US for the location nearest you. A little bit of slowing through Riverside on the 215 southbound. That's slow from Columbia to Blaine, and the 215 northbound is sluggish from Blaine to Columbia. Currently 58 degrees in downtown San Bernardino. We have Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino coming up next right here on AM 1050 and KCAAradio.com.
Are you looking to turn your home into a secure income stream? Consider the home-based gift annuity offered by the University of California, Riverside. The UCR home-based gift annuity pays you income for life while you stay in your home for life. Here's how it works. You agree to donate your property to the university while retaining full control and the right to live in it for your lifetime. In return, you receive guaranteed life income in the form of a fixed annuity. Your annuity rate is based on your age and a portion of your home value. You'll also get a charitable deduction and ongoing tax savings. The UCR home-based gift annuity is backed by the Office of the President of the entire UC system. For more information, call the UCR Gift Planning Office at 877-249-0181. That's 877-249-0181.
Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company has been serving the Greater Inland Empire for over 60 years. For all of your printing needs, from full-color printing to high-speed copying and everything in between, go to Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. Their staff is committed to your total satisfaction. Great service isn't just lip service at Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. It's the way they do business year after year. Having trouble finding drafting supplies? Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company still carries a complete selection. Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company is rated high in customer satisfaction by ValueStar, an independent rating company. For all of your personal or business printing, call Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company at 909-792-3478. That's 792-3478, or visit them on New York Street in Redlands off the I-10 and the Crosstown Freeway.
This is KCAA.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and today we're going to talk about the Business Expo. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. If you call us during the radio show, we will do our best to answer your question on the air. Okay, the Small Business Expo. I guess the best thing to start with is just the marketing concept of any promotional activity. Ideally, Gary, what is the marketing concept of any promotional activity?
You put a little bit of money into some way to get your company out there, and hopefully that brings in a lot more money towards your company.
That's right. Okay. And does it ever come out that way?
If it's yeah, it does. Yeah. Often.
Presumably it does, but you've in the last year or so been witness to a whole number of marketing approaches, and what's the final analysis?
Some of them can be a lot of hit or miss.
Okay, and some of them can work.
Yeah.
Okay, but ultimately it's a hit or miss game. Okay, so when you start your business initially, you have a concept that you believe in. Okay, and what is the marketing idea with that concept?
That it's worth the money invested in it.
It's
worth it to spend the money to make the money.
Okay, and as you believe in the concept, you need to communicate and convince your potential customers that the concept has meaning. Okay, if it connects with the customers, you get customers. If it doesn't, you move on to the next idea. Now, as a business realizes success, you have both profits, which obviously improve the owner's situation and the business's situation. And with some of those profits, what do you do to further the business?
You put them back into the business, or you...
Okay. There's two elements of that. You're right. You put them into the business. You can buy assets, or you can invest in...
more marketing.
Exactly. Okay? So, the issue of success or failure of each of these different avenues of marketing, do we fill ourselves with shame when it doesn't work?
No, we take that experience and we learn from it.
Exactly, and we move on to the next item. Okay? So, as we bounce from promotional idea to promotional idea, they all don't present themselves at the same time. But as they present themselves to you, that is your opportunity to play or sit on the sidelines. So as we approach a business expo and we decide to participate, what is the optimistic formula for the business expo?
It's going to be full of possible clients, and you're going to go there and you're going to meet as many as you can, and hopefully you get some of them.
Exactly. You get some customers that way, okay? A client in the context of a professional service company and other companies, I guess. But ultimately, the idea is that you are hoping to be in an environment where there are potential customers. And depending on what you're looking for, some people go to these things looking for customers. Others look for partners. Others look for investors. But ultimately, it's about marketing. And if you're looking for a customer, you're trying to sell your product or service. If you're looking for investors, you're trying to convince them that this is a viable business. Now, if you're trying to convince investors about your business, what is the best way to show them that this is a viable business?
To present with your business plan or let them know how it works and show them that it makes sense, it works.
Right, but at the business expo, what is it that they can tangibly see that would convince them that this is a meaningful business?
It's professionally presented. It looks like there's a lot of effort put into it.
Right, and are customers acting interested in the product or service? Okay, so ultimately, that's the basic game of the business expo. Okay, so in today's show, we're going to break this down, time allowing, into the elements of preparation, the elements of exhibiting, and the elements of networking. Because all three of these items converge at the business expo. Okay, now, the first thing here, we kind of covered the ideals, but the question is, why would you go to a small business expo in the first place?
You want people to know about your business. You want others in your group of small businesses to know that you're there.
Okay. And who traditionally would attend these small business expos?
Small businesses.
Right. Now, would all of them be exhibitors, or what would you expect?
There's going to be some people who have exhibits, but there's going to be, hopefully, there's more people coming in to see the exhibits than there are actual exhibits.
Exactly. Okay, so what you're really expecting is that there will be other exhibitors. Obviously, you're not going to be the only one. If I were the only exhibitor, that might make for a rather boring business expo, because accounting can only go so far. But the fact is that what you're expecting is mostly that there is going to be a significant amount of traffic. And when we refer to the traffic, we're talking about the number of people who will attend the expo and will see your booth and possibly engage you in some kind of conversation to learn a little bit more about your booth. Now, I don't believe, Gary, you've ever been to a networking meeting, have you?
No.
Okay. All right, well, the traditional format in a networking meeting, aside from the conversations that go on around the fixed schedule, but ultimately they give everybody generally a minute or less to stand up and tell everybody about your business. All right? Now, if I were to ask you to tell me everything you could tell me about you, whether you're in business or not, but let's just say I'm just interested in you at the basic level. I'm just looking for a good person. So you got a minute to tell me all the good things about you, okay? Is that going to give me as much of a picture of all your good qualities as you would like to tell me?
No.
Okay. All right, but when you are at a business expo, okay, the exhibit period usually ranges. It depends on the format, but it could be over a weekend. It could be 4 hours. It could be a day. It varies. But ultimately, somebody comes and he sees your business and he starts asking you, for instance, with a name like the part-time CFO, what's the first thing he's probably going to ask me?
What's a CFO?
Exactly. Or what's a part-time CFO? Okay? So now I've already got my hook set. Okay. Now he's got to sit there long enough for me to tell him. Now, granted, if I go on for 20 or 30 minutes, he will probably walk away at some time during the process. But he might be receptive to listening to me for 5 minutes. Okay? That is a huge opportunity to answer somebody who is interested enough to ask me what it is. Okay? Now, granted, if he understands what it is and waves his hand, oh, okay, I get it, and walks away, it's on to the next person. But ultimately, that's what the Business Expo is about. It gives you the opportunity as an exhibitor to tell people about your business. Okay? It's not the printed version. It's the conversational version. It gives you a chance to understand a little bit more about their business, because that should come up in the conversation. And then once you understand a little bit more about what he does, then you can explain to him how you can help his specific business. So that's the general concept if you're an exhibitor. Okay. Now, if you're not an exhibitor and you go to the business expo, it gives you a chance to tell the people at each booth about your business. Now, they may be there exhibiting with an interest in selling to your business, but secondarily, they may be interested in what you're doing as a product that their business could use in furthering their own business. Okay? So that's the concept of a small business expo. Now, if it's the first time around exhibiting at a small business expo, okay, are you going to go to Los Angeles? Are you going to go to San Bernardino, Riverside, Moreno Valley, Santa Ana? Where would you generally start off?
Probably where you're centered in the city that you're located in.
Okay. And are you going to do a half-day expo, a full-day expo, or a weekend expo?
Depends on what's available. Probably just the one day.
Okay. And why would you do the one day versus the weekend expo if it's your first time?
Just because you want to get a feel for it. You want to understand what you need to do. You don't want to go into it and realize after 2 or 3 hours, like, oh, I'm really not prepared for this, and then have to sit there for another day and a half. So you take what you learn in that one day, and then you take it for the next one, and you maybe try for a weekend or 2 or 3 days or something like that.
Exactly. So the concept is that you do it the first time to kind of learn the ropes. Okay. Were you around when I did my first expo?
I was around. I wasn't actually
okay.
A part of it.
I know. I understand. I know you weren't a part of it. I remember you weren't there. I just wasn't sure if you were away. But in either case, what was the stated intent of being at that particular expo? Do you remember that?
Just to meet people.
It was going to be a run through, to go through the things I do at an expo, to make sure and to satisfy myself that I know the game, okay? Now, we went to a local one, okay, because there's one major issue. One was expense, because if we're going to do it wrong, we don't want to be paying top dollar for it. But what's the advantage? In that particular case, it was in Moreno Valley. What's the advantage of Moreno Valley versus Los Angeles?
There's not as many people competing for the available booths, so they want you to get them, as opposed to in Los Angeles, there's probably hundreds of companies trying to get maybe 100 or 200 booths. There's maybe dozens trying to get probably 20 booths.
Okay. Now, something that is important to know, okay, the one in Los Angeles that I'm thinking of is usually sponsored and underwritten by the major business publications or the major news radio stations, things along those lines. So who's going to go to the one in Los Angeles?
The bigger companies, the ones who know what they're doing, the professional
okay.
expo.
To a large degree, you're right, okay? But what I was aiming for is more, those are probably the people that are going to be exhibiting to it. But the question in terms of who is going to go to it, okay? If KNX is sponsoring the Business Expo in Los Angeles, who would be the attendees at that particular expo?
Anyone around Los Angeles.
That's right. And what is the geographic listenership of that particular radio station?
Gets all the way out here, probably even further.
All over. And thus, it would be primarily their listeners who would attend such a thing. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about the Business Expo. When we return, we will be still talking about the Business Expo. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? Holla at ya boy. XOXOXO. You getting these texts? Question mark. Where are you? What are you doing? OMG, you are making me mad. You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
In every community, hardworking families are living in unhealthy and substandard housing. They simply need a hand up, not a hand out. Habitat for Humanity is providing that hand up, and you can help. Call 877-277-4344, toll-free, or visit carsforhomes.org to learn how you can donate a car, truck, boat, or RV, running or not, to help families in your local community. Habitat's Cars for Homes program sells your donated vehicle to raise funds for building simple, decent, and affordable homes in partnership with low-income families. Plus, your vehicle donation may be eligible for a tax deduction. Visit carsforhomes.org to donate a car, truck, boat, or RV to help Habitat for Humanity build homes and change the lives of families within our community. Donate. Volunteer. Get involved. Visit carsforhomes.org.
KCAA, your local connection for news traffic weather, and sports. AM 1050, KCAA.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about the Business Expo. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. If you call us during the show, we will do our best to answer your question on the show today. Okay, on the break, we were just discussing the issue of why are we talking about a business expo today? And for the local listener, it's probably important that we mention to you that the Riverside Chamber of Commerce will be having a business expo on January 31st, which uniquely enough will be during my radio show. But nonetheless, if you're interested in attending that business expo, you can find out more at the Greater Riverside Chamber of Commerce webpage. Anyway, when we went to break, we were talking about the issue of whether you would go to a, if you were first doing a business expo or as a business exhibiting, whether you would go to a big one in a large market like Los Angeles or whether you would concentrate in your own local small market. Now, when you go to the larger market, you do have the advantage of more traffic and more potential customers. But it depends on what your business is and your ability to service people. Me being based in Moreno Valley, if I go to Los Angeles, chances are most of the people that I talk to will probably be relatively central to Los Angeles. But at the same time, since the reach of the promoters of that particular expo could reach as far out as Palm Springs in one direction and possibly Santa Barbara in another direction and maybe San Diego in a different direction. The fact is that at that particular expo, you could be talking to people with businesses covering all those areas. So if you were to go to that particular expo, you may find yourself talking to a lot of people that you can't service and maybe a few people that you can. Once again, it depends on your business and your availability to geographically provide the product or service to people over a wide geographical area. Okay, but if you were to go to the local expo, then you're more likely dealing with people that are more local or centralized around the location of the expo. So if you're just starting in a business, or if you've been doing it for a little period of time, and you're providing a service, it seems to me that it would probably be more logical for you to work geographically around the center of your business. Now, just a little bit of personal experience in terms of developing my business. When I worked as an employee accountant, I worked for companies in the Los Angeles and Orange County area. I had one employer eventually in Riverside, but for the most part, most of my contacts were in Los Angeles and Orange County. So as I built my business, the areas that I networked tended to be in those areas and local, but at the same time, over time, where I initially got clients in the larger markets, over the course of the 20 years, all my clients have tended to gravitate geographically to Riverside and San Bernardino, which is effectively the area that I live. Now, why would that be?
Just because this market is kind of untapped for the resources that you provide. So they're in need of your – or they're, some of them are in need of your services – out here as well as out there, or there's just two different markets, and you kind of move from one to the other. It's just like expanding.
Right, and traditionally, when the businesses that were required in Riverside, San Bernardino were not provided by people in Riverside, San Bernardino, where must they go to find these products and services?
They have to go to Riverside or Los Angeles and Orange County, where the services live, where they reside.
Right, okay. And when I started, that was largely how things are. But for the businesses that are located in Riverside and San Bernardino, what's the advantage of having somebody provide it for them nearby?
And you can just be there in 20, 30 minutes.
That's right. And assuming that you have the competence and quality of service, that's a much better deal. How does the overhead in Riverside, San Bernardino compare with Los Angeles and Orange County?
It's definitely not as big as a market, but there's still plenty of people who need the service, so there's no...
Okay, but in terms of having a business. The real estate values in Riverside, San Bernardino are somewhat lower than they are in Los Angeles and Orange County, and therefore my cost of doing business is not as high as it would be in those larger areas. Therefore, what can I do with my fee structure to take advantage of that lower overhead?
You can charge higher, or lower, I'm sorry, lower.
That's right, because my expenses are not so high. So that gives me an immediate advantage. Plus, the people who are already in the more expensive Los Angeles and Orange County markets, in addition to the cost of being located in those areas, if they want to service somebody in Riverside, San Bernardino, what's the additional expense?
A lot of mileage.
Exactly, the travel. There's time in travel, and there's expense of travel. Okay, so this gives the local provider a greater advantage. Okay, but not every business is an accounting practice, but even if you are buying product from Los Angeles and it has to be transported here to you, and then you transport it to your customer, if you can provide it to your local community, chances are you can provide it at a competitive price because, once again, there is not that element of a more expensive facility and transportation of the product also. So anyway, so that's the initial advantage of your local expo. Okay, and of course the other big advantage of the small business expo is you're working face to face, and you're in an environment where people are learning about other businesses. Okay, you don't always get that kind of a forum. Okay, so now we talked about the issue of discuss of which small business expo. Now in the larger market areas, as I said, you got bigger sponsors. Okay, in the smaller market areas, you got the smaller sponsors. The one I talked about on the 31st will be sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce for Riverside. Moreno Valley at times has their own business expo. I'm sure San Bernardino's Chamber of Commerce does them. And ultimately, on the smaller market level, they're generally hosted by the Chambers of Commerce. And these offer the advantage of it gives you the opportunity to market yourself directly to the local businesses. It's cheaper. Now, the reason it's cheaper is, of course, because it doesn't generate as much traffic, and it's local. So instead of having to get a bigger location, you can work on a more conservative location. Now, in Riverside, they're working at the convention center in Riverside, and in Moreno Valley, they traditionally work at the conference center that they recognize there. Those are the ones that I'm most familiar with. In Los Angeles, they actually use the L.A. Convention Center, which, because it's Los Angeles, a much larger city, it is a much larger convention center. So these things all work together. But anyway, the big issue with the Chamber of Commerce is that usually in your local market, you are a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and sometimes that gets you a better rate for being at the expo. But it also gives you the opportunity to build on your existing network. So you meet a lot of people at the Chamber of Commerce who may know you personally and may know that you have a business. They may even know the name of your business, and they may, at a lower level, understand what your business does. But through the Business Expo, they get the opportunity to know in much greater detail the specifics of what your business does. And it also offers you the opportunity to get to know the people that you network with, to know a lot more about their business. Now, when you're going to serve somebody's business, Gary, what is the most important thing in understanding how you can help them?
Believing you can help them.
Okay, and knowing their business. Okay, so in addition to marketing your own business, okay, you're learning about their business. And in learning about their business, you can understand specifically how you can tailor your service to their business. Okay. Now, the other thing that sometimes is available, but my own experience with this is that this is sometimes a question of knowing the organizers up close, and they sometimes give it to their friends or to sponsors or things like that. And I'm not sure exactly how this works out in my Riverside one, because I didn't investigate this particular avenue, my bad. But sometimes it's real meaningful, especially if you host a radio show, to get a speaking opportunity at the expo. Because a lot of times, in addition to the exhibit hall, they have a series of seminars or a series of, well, I guess you would call them seminars, and they're usually educational seminars about how to run your business, maybe about tax elements of having a business, or maybe the legal elements of what your business entity is. And depending on what your profession is, these could be excellent opportunities to promote yourself both as a business expert or a business in a particular field that is something that all of the businesses can use, whether it's office supplies, whether it's legal advice, whether it's accounting advice, or whether it's a janitorial service. It gives you the opportunity, in a room full of people who came there to listen to you speak, the opportunity to tell you how you can help them, or at least get into the inferential level, that if you have all this knowledge, just think how that knowledge could help their business. Okay? Now, when you're dealing in the larger one, in addition to the larger attendance, the fee for being there, if you want to exhibit, generally is much higher. And, of course, with the higher fee, of course, comes the higher potential that you will put yourself in front of more people. And, of course, for the speaking opportunity, that could be a huge opportunity. Sometimes you have to pay for it. Sometimes, though, they bring in national speakers. And hearing these speakers brings a lot of people to the expo. And at the same time, it may cause a lot, people may be willing to pay to be there just to listen to that person. So the speaker may not be an exhibitor, or maybe it's part of his package, but at the same time, that person brings all the people that you want to come to your booth. Okay, now when you, the preparation of being at a business expo comes down to a long list of the things that you need. Now, this isn't rocket science, but for the person who's never been through this particular route before, assuming, and I'm mostly talking from the exhibitor viewpoint, but the things that you will need to bring. Now, usually you're provided with a booth that's usually maybe 8x8 or maybe 10x10. Depends on how many people they're trying to squeeze into the booth and what is considered necessary to showcase your business. But usually you get a table. It's got a tablecloth, and it's usually skirted around it. But ultimately, they give you the basic platform to promote your business. Okay? Now, what also helps is to have some kind of signage so that they can recognize the people who are at the expo can recognize your business. Chances are the expo promoters will provide some brief signage for the front of your table that identifies the name of your company. But if you bring a banner, then you get to showcase not just the name of your company, but perhaps your logo, and perhaps some kind of a motto or some kind of an element of explaining what your business does. Okay? Now, for the people who come to your booth, you want to have some element of a handout that they can take with them that can remind them both of the fact that they saw your business at the expo and a rundown of the services that you provide. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about the Business Expo. And when we come back, we'll be still talking about the Business Expo. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business and would like to discuss it on the air today, you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. 1050. Otherwise, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, and we will bring those questions to our next show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
My name is Meera Batra. I have been in this country 32 years, and this is how I live United. America has always been the land of promise, and in my community, many families have come for a better life. Coming from another culture myself, I know the desire to become part of a community, to feel at home, and to gain the tools for our children and families to succeed. So I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to look beyond their histories and to see what opportunities are available. We help them get involved with their kids' schools, network within the community, and when we do, we unite them. We make the community stronger. What I do is something I wish someone had done for me, and I am so grateful I am able to. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunities and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Sassy!
Today's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Oh, nuts! There's a bobcat in this cave! Save us, Sassy! You will, but first you'd like to stress the importance of cat adoption? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year and they need to be adopted? Help us, Sassy! Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Songer.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right?
The other station claims to be local.
Since when is Glendale local?
KCAA, News Talk 1050, your true local station.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about the Business Expo, and we're going to keep talking about the Business Expo. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. And again, we're mentioning that on January 31st, that's 2 weeks from today, there will be a Business Expo, a small business expo, at the Riverside Convention Center. I don't know the exact hours, but it's being put on by the Greater Riverside Chamber of Commerce. And if you're interested, you can go to their webpage, and I'm sure there will be plenty of information for you. All right, when we went to the break, we're going down through some of the things that you would need to effectively exhibit at a business expo. And we're up to the issue of handouts and the promotional material that you would like people to have, just so that they have something that that they can take with them that will, so to speak, refresh their memory of the meeting that they had with you, identifying your business and perhaps the products or services that you provide, and contact info, and perhaps any specials or handouts or coupons that you want to distribute to get them to come to your business. It depends on your marketing approach. But the idea is that, most importantly, you want to have the opportunity to talk to people and tell them about your business, but you also want to give them something to take back with them so that they aren't just, when they get back to the office, trying to remember who that guy they talked to was and what his business was, that they actually have something. And then he can choose between the 70 or 80 handouts that he brought back from that business expo. Probably not that many, but you're swimming upstream until you get an appointment with him. Okay, the other things that you would want to bring are business cards, a nice supplement to the handout, but more direct. When you want to call you, here's my name, here's my phone number, here's my website. Check us out or call us for an appointment. Okay? And then the other thing you would want to bring is a little bit of personality. You want to be your bright, friendly provider, happy to meet people, happy to talk to people, happy to explain what you do, happy to be their provider. Okay? And the other thing, which is one of those silly things, but it depends on what you're thinking of and depends on what's important. But that is having candy at your booth. And this is something that it's amazing the different opinions that I get on the subject, but it all comes down to one thing. Do you want people to come to your booth or not? And my experience is if you have the best candy, everybody will come to your booth. Whether they're interested in you or not, that's not the issue. The issue is if they come to your booth, you get a chance to talk to them and you get a chance to sell. Okay? If they don't come to your booth, you don't get a chance to tell them what you do. You don't get a chance to tell them how you can help them. And the fact is, I don't care how big the expo is. Okay? If there's 200 people, okay, that means you won't use a whole lot of candy. If there's 800 people, you're going to use a lot more candy. And if it's even greater than that, maybe you'll run out of candy. But the idea is that I can't imagine how you can spend more than $100 for really good candy. And all it's doing for $100, which is much less than you pay to be there, and all the other things that go into it. For $100, if you can get some element of assurance that everybody will come to your booth, I can't think of any better way to spend your money. And I learned this early on. The secret is the candy. You want people to come to your booth. And there may be a lot of kids that come and eat your candy. That's okay, because eventually their parents are going to have to come and get them. And when they see their kids eating too much of your candy, chances are they'll take the trouble to come and meet you and apologize for their kids eating all your candy. But that's part of the game, okay? It makes people talk. It brings people to your booth. The other thing is dressing for success. Now, it depends on what you're doing, okay? But the idea is that you don't want to be manning your booth dressed like a homeless person, okay? At the same time, there are different elements of it. If you're a plumber, you're not expected to dress in a shirt and tie, okay? But if you have company uniforms, it may make sense to wear your uniform, because a uniform communicates some element of professionalism about what you do, okay? It's a good front. It makes you look professional, and they understand that you're a plumber. Okay? A lot of times, regardless of what we do, okay, it is our attire that communicates what we do. And if your attire is well-appointed and professional, the issue of what you do becomes less important, and you start focusing on the problems that you can solve. Okay? The other element, if you're a professional, there's the old idea of professional dress, but that ain't always the case. Okay? Way back when, somebody explained to me that when you're a professional, there are two approaches to how you dress. Okay? One is that you wear a suit because that is the standard professional attire. And I have no criticism for that. I wear a suit quite a bit myself. In fact, probably more than a lot of my clients are comfortable about. Okay? But there is another approach. And that is that you dress in reasonably good clothes, but you put the suit away. You wear a collared shirt. You wear nice pants, maybe dress pants, dress shirt. It's all up to you. But when you dress that way, you are nonetheless holding yourself at a high level of appearance. But you're also communicating to the world, maybe, that you're successful enough in your practice that you don't need to wear a suit every day. Okay? Now, that particular approach can apply to any profession. Okay? The concept of wearing a uniform is great. Okay? But if you're the owner of the company, maybe what you want to do is bring some of your uniformed personnel to the expo. But you, as the owner, may dress the dress of a professional, whether you're wearing a suit or whether you're not wearing a suit. You're promoting your business that way as more than just a sole proprietor who does the service, the service provider. But you are now the owner, if not president, of a large company with numerous personnel. And with size goes that element of success. You convince people that you're successful. You convince people that you have a track record. You satisfy them that you will do a good job. It's all in the look and the appearance and the projection of success and competence. Okay? Sometimes you may bring items to sell. Sometimes you may bring promotional items. Okay? In my business, I believe that information is important to give people. Okay? Sometimes I give things for free. Sometimes I sell it. So, there's always that video that you hear about on the radio show, the Taking Your Business Seriously radio, which is available for sale at the takingyourbusinessseriously.com website. There's also a sample business plan. I usually bring this when I exhibit. Okay? These are products that I've developed over time that are available to entrepreneurs who may find them useful as they tackle some of the elements of being an entrepreneur. Okay? The most important is that readily available contact information, the business card, the pamphlet. You may have certain promotional items that are expensive to produce, and you only give those to the people that you qualify as being legitimately interested in using your product or services. Okay? That's up to you. Okay? Now, something else that comes up sometimes is when you have a meaningful conversation with somebody and feel like you've really qualified them, that they could really use your services, and you'd be interested in them in providing the services for you, you might ask for their contact information. So after a week or two, you can communicate with them and ask if there's anything further that they'd like to discuss, or if perhaps you can have a meeting and you can discuss specifically the services that you can provide for their business. Okay? That's always my favorite thing, the no obligation consultation. Okay? Because the fact is, you really can't tell somebody how you can help their business if you don't know about their business. And when you're at the expo, you may peripherally talk about the things you do, and they may more peripherally talk about the way they handle their business. But when you're actually at the business, you get that opportunity to discuss specific problems that you can solve. And there's unlimited value in that. But through the contact list, you can identify these people that you can communicate with later and possibly turn interested prospects into paying clients. Okay. Now, when you get to the issue of exhibiting, and we're not going to be able to exhaust this list, we will be continuing with Business Expo Part 2 next week. Okay, but ultimately, the basic rules that we will begin now and continue next week, the basic rules when you are exhibiting at a business expo. Number one, arrive early. Okay? The last thing you want to do is get there and set up your booth after visitors have already started to arrive. Okay? It makes you look like you're not prepared. It effectively undercuts all the things I just talked about in terms of projecting your business as a successful business, as a competent business, and all that. But you can't even get to the business expo on time. Because traditionally, if you're exhibiting at a business expo, you are allowed to arrive sometimes as early as an hour ahead of time, even earlier if needed, so that you can get everything just right for the expo. Okay? If you can't manage that, how are you going to manage business? Okay? Now, the other thing that is one of my favorite points is the issue of eating while you're exhibiting. Okay? The rule should be very simply, no food in your booth. Don't eat while you're exhibiting. Okay? There's one exception to this that I'll get to in a minute. But what I really want to touch on here is the issue of eating. Why don't you eat when you're in an exhibit booth? And the fact is that eating is an unflattering view of an individual. Traditionally, as they say, it's not polite to eat in front of people. Well, aside from it's not being polite, it don't look that good either. And the fact is that while we may have dressed up the process of eating with silverware and plateware and all the things that go with the etiquette of eating, the fact is we haven't really come that much further than the dog. Okay? Eating is not a flattering activity. Okay? Therefore, when we are in a situation where we are trying to put and project the best image of our business as we possibly can, we do not want to be eating. Now, the one exception that I'll throw in there is that if the person you're talking to is eating some of your candy, it may, in that circumstance, be appropriate that you have some candy with him, okay? And that takes away his element, his negative element of eating by you doing that. And this is how rapport is developed and bonding. It puts you both at the same level. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. It's dependent on the individual, but ultimately it's a good conventional wisdom to avoid eating in an exhibit situation. Okay, drinks are okay, but generally keep them out of sight. Now, one of the things that goes with drinks is what?
It's not out of a flask.
Huh?
It's not out of a flask.
Okay, I'm thinking more in terms of spilling. Okay, you got a little table, you got pamphlets, you got brochures, and you got candy. Okay, and somebody knocks over your soda. Okay, what does that do to all your stuff?
It's embarrassing and can ruin a good supply of your handouts, and then
that's
you got to take 15 minutes to clean it up, and then at that point there's a big stain on your table.
That's right. Okay. And how do we usually transport all of our handouts?
We carry them.
In what?
Have like a box.
Exactly. Okay. Now, in this world of that we live in, do you ever hear of Murphy's Law?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what are the chances that where your drink spills, that it is going to drip directly into the box that has all your handouts?
It's pretty likely.
Yeah, better than you would hope. Okay. But in either case, so that's a good rule right there. The other element is just simply you may want to have some water. You got a closed bottle. And you kind of keep it in the back of the booth. Okay, so if you're talking a lot and you start drinking, you conceal it and put it away. Okay. As I mentioned a moment ago, we'll be picking this up next week for part two of the Business Expo. Okay? This has been Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. I've been here with Gary today, and we've been talking about the Business Expo. Next week, we will continue on this particular subject. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can email us through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage. Again, the Business Expo will be at the Riverside Convention Center on January 31st. You can get more information at the Greater Riverside Chamber.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio. This is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your local news. Now here's what's going on at 5 o'clock. In Home Gardens, investigators say a bicyclist was deliberately run over and killed. They're calling the death of Armando Villalobos a homicide. Arrested on suspicion of murder was Anthony Lopez of Anaheim. It's been a year since three members of a San Bernardino family were electrocuted by a power line that fell into the backyard of their North Park home. Southern California Edison has declined to discuss the cause of the incident the past 12 months and instead submitted its findings to the California Public Utilities Commission. The PUC, in turn, has refused comment because it says of an ongoing investigation. In sports, the Humana Challenge, formerly the Bob Hope Desert Golf Classic, is being played this week entirely in La Quinta. An event has generated more than $50 million for charities in the Coachella Valley. A lot of repeat TV shows were intermingled with holiday movies and seemed to attract a lot of viewers. Each of the networks broadcast a series of reruns. Entertainment editor Bob Sikolsky says it was a maneuver timed before the ratings battle begins for the football playoffs, the Super Bowl, and the sweeps after that.
Viewers really don't see any reason to change their dial because there's nothing in the other channel that's going to match this. It's an interesting test, and let's see what happens after the playoffs and after some of the election returns are held.
Winter in Southern California so far has been a study in contrast. Typical chilly spells have been offset by the nation's warmest weather at the beginning of the month. Now, however, after a four-week dry spell, Riverside forecaster Rob Crone has thrown some showers into the mix.
Models indicate a moist westerly flow will develop over the Pacific Northwest. This will result in a good chance of wetting rains over Northern California, mainly